Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your word. Your word that speaks of grace, of challenging us to live faithful lives. Your word that speaks of healing and hope. May we hear it and trust that it is the truth. Not only the truth for us in the church, but the truth for all of your people, the world over. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Several days after I came up with the sermon title for this week, I realized that it sounded kind of funny. How would you end it? The function of a Church of Jesus Christ, how would you end it? And I need to say then, at the beginning, that I'm not talking about the ending of the Christian church. I just want to be clear with that at the outset. And I also want you to know I did not intend to end this series today. I meant for it to be ended 2 weeks ago. However, when I read the passage for Revelation, which comes from the very end of the book of Revelation, it also comes from the very end of the whole of the New Testament and the Christian Bible, I felt that this necessitated or begged a different ending to this series on what is the function of the church. So let's refresh where we have been. The first Sunday after Easter, I talked about the fact that the first and foremost function of a church is to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To share our faith with others, that they may be touched in positive ways by the life and the teaching of Jesus. The second week, I talked about the fact that the church is to be a place of teaching and learning. The church needs to be a place where those in the church can be nourished and challenged in their perceptions of their faith, their understanding of who God is, as well as who God is in relation to them. It's also a place where people new to the faith or who are questioning it can come to understand what the gospel of Jesus Christ means for them. The third week, I talked about how the church is a place of charity, a community that seeks the welfare of those who have been left out by society, those who have been left out of the rights and the benefits of life due to them as members of the human family. And the fourth week, 2 weeks ago, I talked about how the church is to be an inclusive community and inclusive in its ministry. In other words, to all people. And today I want to end this series with a reflection on that very last verse of the book of Revelation. And we read there, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints." Amen. Now, that ending, to me, says a lot about not just the function of the church, but of faith itself. However, I'm going to take exception to how the translators of the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible translated that verse. And I'm not the only one taking this exception. There are ancient authorities that also took this same exception. Because the way it goes, the way we heard it just a few minutes ago, to me, goes against the whole of the scriptural account that has gone before it. The footnote in my New Revised Standard Bible notes that some ancient authorities omit all, so that it reads, "Be with the saints." The footnote also says that there are other ancient authorities that omit be with the saints. So that it says, so that it ends, be with all. Now to say the saints, or to say all the saints, or just the saints, doesn't make a big difference. But to say the saints or all the saints is very different from saying the grace be with all. And it's one of those differences where you have to go back then and look at the whole of the Bible. And especially as Christians, the account of Jesus' life and the teachings of his life, to understand which ending seems to be the right one. And even then, it's an educated guess. One of the ways that scholars for many years have used to determine which is more correct is that they say generally the original meaning or the original words are the shortest or the shorter version. In this case, to say be with all is the shorter version. Now, if we look at the life and the teachings of Jesus, we know, we have account after account after account where he extended grace to many who were not considered to be saints by the church of his day. He extended grace to the prostitute. He extended grace to the tax collectors. He extended grace to the coarse fisherman. He extended grace to the Samaritan woman. He extended grace to the crazy pig farmer. The life of Jesus seemed to be about extending grace to all of those people in his day who would have been shunned for various reasons. But then we kind of say, okay, but what does he mean by grace? Or what did the writer of John of Patmos mean by grace? If we look it up in Webster's, we read things like a sense of what is right, proper, decency, thoughtfulness toward others, goodwill, favor, mercy, clemency, and so on. In biblical Greek, though, it carries the sense of divine favor, divine well-being. If we understand, as the writer of the Gospel of John says, Jesus came to bring new life, then the sense of grace is whatever gives new life, whatever gives new hope. That then is grace. Now, yesterday, I was walking among the tables of our yard sale. I was telling everybody, I got the yard sale in my sermon. And I was aware that many of the items that were on those tables at one time were needed or wanted. But now they weren't wanted or needed anymore. Now, they could have been pitched and put in the landfills and helped to create new mountains, which is what our landfills do. But by giving them to a yard sale, ours or any yard sale, in essence, they are given a chance of new life, to be needed or wanted again. Perhaps the electric trivet would once again grace the holiday buffet. The toy car that had been loved by the child who had now grown up would maybe once again be loved by a little child. In many respects, I think the yard sale, not just ours, but any yard sale, represents the best of the sense of grace. In the time of Jesus, people were used and cast aside Well, they were never included in the first place because they were ill or they were different, so they had to live outside of the community. And the Christian church came into being through Jesus by reaching out to those who had been cast aside. He sought to let them know that they still mattered, that God still loved them, that they still had a gift, that divine favor was still with them. The story of the Samaritan woman in the Gospel of John is a wonderful example of this. We hear the following exchange between Jesus and the woman. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" And Jesus, because Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is asking you to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Jesus offers a Samaritan woman living water. He offers her grace. He, a Jew, and she, a Samaritan Jew, hated by Palestinian Jews, and vice versa. That is grace for all. Recently, I came across another story of grace that I just had to share with you. It's by Jeffrey Zaslow in his book, Tell Me About It. He writes, "Years ago, my father coached a team of 8-year-olds. We had a few excellent players and some who just couldn't get the hang of the game. Dad's team didn't win once all season. But in the last inning of the last game, his team was only down by a run. Now, there was one boy who had never been able to hit the ball or catch it all season. With two outs in the 9th inning, it was his turn to bat. He surprised the world and got a single. The next batter was the team slugger. Finally, Dad's players might win the game. The slugger connected. And as the boy who hit the single ran to second, he saw the ball coming towards him. Not so certain of baseball's rules, he caught it. The final out. Dad's team lost. But quickly, my father told his team to cheer. The boy beamed. It never occurred to him that he'd lost the game. All he knew was that he had hit the ball and he had caught it, something he had not been able to do all season. His parents later thanked my dad. That child had never even gotten into a game before that season. And we never told the boy exactly what happened. We didn't want to ruin it for him. Until this day, I'm proud of what my father did that afternoon. The world says, you play by the rules, you use people to get ahead. The church, through its functions of sharing the good news, teaching and learning, charity and inclusion, all of that is about grace. Grace for others and grace for ourselves. You know, in the beginning I said this sermon was about ending, it was not about ending the church. But to my mind, if we stop being a church or a people who give grace to all, we will have effectively stopped being the church. Thus, I think it's fitting that we end this sermon and this series with the words of John of Patmos, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all." Amen.